There's a very bad place in New York. It's called New York City. Nowhere near that. That's way down here. That's the, you know, the pit. And then about 6-7 hours north by Lake Ontario, that's where I live. It's a good place. All right. How do I start? So Vance Havner once said, the tragedy of today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. You say, who's Vance Havner? Look him up. You ought to find out. You ought to know. You ought to know who some of these older preachers are that have gone through the years and have just faithfully plowed years that we might not even have been around, but have just plowed and plowed. I am thankful for people that have plowed some ground, broken up some fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Now, Vance Havner, he said that the tragedy of today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. That makes me think of the lack of dedication in today's world. The saints are desperate to have, they're not desperate to have anything dedicated to the Lord. The world's life of ease mentality has bled over into the church. It truly has. No one has a drive to be dedicated because stick-to-itiveness is a thing of the past. It surely is. You can easily see that. Just you look in sports. I think of dedication. I coached wrestling for about 9 years. And the ones that advanced to postseason, the ones that made it to those end-of-season tournaments and would make it to states, they're the ones that had dedication. I think of one guy that I had on my team. His name was Josh. He, if you know anything about wrestling, he was a fish. That's not a good thing. That's not a compliment. He was a fish. He was horrible. He had one win his freshman year. And it was just funny to watch him, and he'd be practicing with the guys that you'd consider studs, the guys that they're going to go out and just hammer their guys. They're getting ducked and stuff. People don't want to wrestle them. And he's practicing with these fellows and just getting thrown all. They're just wiping the mat with them. But he's just going back after it. And the guy is just this lanky kid, and I'm laughing a little bit without him seeing while I'm watching him practice and stuff. He's just a bad wrestler. But he was just starting out, but he had dedication. And I would drive him. I'd say, Josh, hard work pays off always. It always pays off. Keep working hard, Josh. He had one win his freshman year. He would go to off-season practices, he would work out in the gym off-season, and he'd drive and drive and drive. All those years through high school, his senior year, he only had one loss. His senior year, one loss. Continued to work out after high school. He had two colleges that wanted him to wrestle for them, and he chose the one college, and now he's up for being an All-American wrestler in college. How does that happen? Dedication. That's how it happens, dedication. And you know, I think about dedication, I think about that, and the same follows suit with words. Having the right kind of words, dedicated words to the Lord. And that's what I want to preach on this morning for a short while. How are your words? Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, sure is good to be in church today. I thank you for this place. I thank you for the dedication that's gone on here throughout all these decades, Father. Not just years, but decades. I pray that we would never take it for granted and we'd always remember, as the brother just preached, of what you've done and what you've brought us through and what you've allowed us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I did my math wrong. I put started at 19 after and I finished up at 25. I'm like, whoa, I got 1 minute. Let's add just a little bit of time to that. All right. I'm not good with regular math. I'm good if you got like 45s, 25s, 10s, 5s, 2s, 2.5s. I can add those up fairly easy if they're in a pile, you know. But, man, I'm looking at these hands. I'm thinking, oh, boy, I can't really see those ones. But I got my time, Pastor Peacock. All right, let's go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. So I'm just kind of going to flip my message around just a little bit here. Start at the end and see what happens with it. Psalm chapter 19, dedicated words. The theme of this meeting is dedication. And we need to have dedicated words. Look at Psalm chapter 19. Let's go ahead and read verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It says, let the words of my mouth, words, dedicated words. Say, what are dedicated words? They're words that matter. They're words that matter. They're words that are used wisely. Words that make an impact on others the right way. Words that glorify the Savior. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Words are important. You ought to have them dedicated to the Lord. You ought to have your words dedicated to the Lord. Words that will be a help to a fellow brother or sister in Christ. You have no idea what kind of impact the right words will have. You know, when I was in Bible school down at PBI, over at PBI. I'm used to being up in New York and saying stuff like this. Over at PBI, they put in my Bible, this note right here, 1 Peter 1, 6-7. It just says, keep your head up, bro. About 2011, this guy put in my Bible, I have no idea who did it. These are dedicated words, and they've helped me. Now, I have no idea who the person was that did it, but man, these words, they're special words. Just keep your head up, bro. What is that scripture? It's talking about the trial of your faith. Words mean something. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Man, you think about those pleasant words and how sweet they are. You say a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You think, man, when I think about that picture, I think, man, that's just a pleasant picture. That's a beautiful picture. That's comforting. That's something that's just right. It's just good. And that's how those words, when you have those words that are fitly spoken, words that are dedicated to the Lord, man, they're just right. They're just right. They're going to fit just right wherever they land. Whoever's heart they land on, they're going to land right if they're dedicated. Those pleasant words. Where are your pleasant words? Where's your dedication in your words? You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. You know, if you're wise, you'll have some graciousness in your words. You'll have some graciousness in your words. Now, going back to just the words and how pleasant they ought to be and how encouraging they ought to be and just dedicated words. Man, those words, they can help pull somebody back, a prodigal back into church. They did me. I was out when I was a late teen. I said, I'm done with church. I got out. And I just had some people. I had Nathan Gipp was the associate pastor at the time in our church. And I would see him every once in a while. And he'd just say, I'm seeing you at church. You know, I just miss you. How you doing? Just some dedicated words. Oren Christian, he was the founding pastor of our church back in 1980. And he'd stop up to the shop. Me and my father, we have a mechanic shop up north. And he'd just stop in to get some air, put in his tires, you know, changing from summer air to winter air. That's what you do at mechanic shops. Some people laugh. Some people are like, oh, I should probably do that. Winter's coming. But he would stop in and he'd say, hey, Jim, miss seeing you at church. Guy's about in 80 something. And man, that would just work on my heart. Those were dedicated words. And I was out of church. I wasn't in church, but man, they just kept on just giving those words. This is way before PBI and everything. And just words over and over. And those words, you never know what those words are going to do for somebody. They didn't know what it was doing, necessarily. But man, it was burning in my heart. My mom, when she see me on a Saturday night, she said, honey, am I going to see you at church tomorrow? I say, maybe. I meant no. But I said, maybe. And man, but she had dedicated words. just saying that. Man, it burned in my heart. And those words that people kept on saying, those encouraging words, it burned in my heart. And man, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I ended up getting back in church. Obviously, here I am. But man, mom and dad, whoever you are out there, just keep words here and there. If you got somebody that's out of church, just give them some words. Have your words dedicated to the Lord and just give them a word here and there. You don't have to give them the plan of salvation again. You don't have to go through the whole scripture again, but just give them some words. Just give them some words. You never know what those words are going to do if they're dedicated to the Lord. If they're not dedicated to the Lord, though, the lips of the fool will swallow up himself, like I already said in Ecclesiastes. But man, you need some graciousness in your words, folks. Wise man's mouth, the words are gracious. If you're wise, like I said, you'll have gracious words. You say, yeah, but what about rebuke and what about reproof? Yes, there's a time for that, but why are you so fixated on those two items? What about the exhortation? What about having the right balance? Let's not remove that exhortation out of the scripture and just expand those other two big words because we want to hit on everybody and beat everybody up. You know, it's not just about hitting and beating. You know, Paul said that he said in Acts chapter 26, for this purpose to make thee a minister and a witness. One of his purposes was to minister. You don't have to beat him up all the time. You can minister. Have some dedicated words. Yes, there's a time for reproof and rebuke. But let's not forget about, man, let's make sure our words are dedicated so we have the right balance. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, a lot of times we look at this verse and say, yep, we got to have that salt. We got to have that salt. We got to pour on that salt. We got to give it to them. No, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Your speech needs to always have grace. If you have dedicated words, it needs to always have grace in it. Or always. It's very hard to say just always with grace, but that's what it says. Always. There's no S, but. Always with grace. I'm going to say always. Always with grace. I like always. I know what it says. I'm not going to say that. Always with grace. Seasoned with salt. That's the balance. That is the balance. You know, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. That is the balance, that verse right there for our speech. How it ought to be if it's going to be dedicated to the Lord. It needs to be always with grace. But you see, what happens sometimes is we think that we need to lay on the salt. We think we need to take that salt shaker and just take the cap off and pour it on. We see a problem, we pour it on the wound. And you think, man, I need to lay on the salt. I need to lay on the salt. I need to lay on the salt. I like pretzels. Who doesn't like pretzels? Don't raise your hand because that's just weird. But especially if you like salt, if you like saltless pretzels, that's even more weird. So, yeah. Don't come up to me and be like, brother, salt, pretzels are a sin, or I'm sure somebody has a weird conviction about pretzels. I like them. I ate some on my trip down. Anyways. So pretzels, man, they're just great. You know, they got salt on them. I don't care what kind of pretzels they are. And you're just eating away. You're like, man, I love the salt on these things, and they're great. Have you ever gotten to the bag and it's empty and you thought, man, look at all that goodness that's still in the bottom of the bag. And man, I've enjoyed this whole bag, which sometimes, yes, I enjoy a whole bag. And you take that bag, you think, you know what's a good idea? Just an extra second blessing here out of this bag. Let's just pour that thing up and finish it. It would be okay if it was like crushed up Oreos down there. Now, yes, I'm going to raise my hand and say I have done that one time. So I thought, wow, this is a great idea. It wasn't good. It was bitter. It was bitter. It was horrible. And that is what it's like when you have the wrong balance and your speech is not always with grace, seasoned with salt. And you're pouring the salt on. You think, wow, this is going to be great. It's not great. It's hurting. It's hurting. It is wrong. It's wrong. You're pouring that salt on. And man, it just, after that certain point, too much salt just becomes bitter. Your speech becomes bitter. There's no grace anymore. It is just salt. And it's bitterness. And nobody wants it except for you. Because you're the one pouring it on. You're the one doing the job. If you don't have your words finishing up here, don't have your words dedicated to the Lord, you'll slip into some other categories. A life of empty words and damning words. Empty words? What are empty words? They have no meaning to them. They're just empty. You're just saying stuff. You get so used to talking that you don't even think about what you say. And you say, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You're just making a blank statement, not even considering your words because they're not dedicated. Did that man go? I don't think so. Lord, I'll follow thee, but first let me go bury my father. Putting family in front of the Lord, let the dead bury their dead. Folks, that man in the other scripture, parallel scripture, in Matthew, he's a disciple. Amen. He's a disciple. So his family ought already know that he's a follower of Christ. They should understand that, hey, we don't expect him to stop what he's doing. Well, when James and John and all those folks are called before, they left their nets and their father and they went. Don't have those empty words for the Lord. Don't have those damning words that are going to cut somebody up like Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife, man, she had words that locked Joseph up. And if you don't have your words dedicated to the Lord, man, you might be locking somebody up with your words. Those damning words, you're running in your mouth to somebody else and you're locking somebody up, putting them in a spiritual prison with your words. Words matter. Words are important. Let's have our words dedicated to the Lord. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Watch your words. How are your words, preacher?